Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But now we understand it's not just about the religion part of the culture. You know, God wants to help you in your business. He wants to transform your school. He wants to fundamentally transform your government. He wants to take over media in regards to not just physically take it over, but begin to have powerful impact, kingdom impact through media and arts and entertainment and in the family. And we have so many people, you know, criticizing where families going in America, but their family's in shambles. Mm-hmm. You have people who are criticizing the direction of marriage, while you have, you know, a husband and wife constantly in strife because they're battling over who's gonna walk in kingdom order or who's not gonna walk in kingdom order. And it's like they're actually over the dinner table criticize what the world's doing with marriage. It's like that's the devil all over that thing. And it's really weird. I mean, we're gonna get a chance. You know, I got into
I was going to ask you, don't you see a new generation that where the church is taking a turn where we can empower believers to, okay, we can move off the religion mountain and we begin to go into these areas of culture where we can take leadership positions, and then believers can begin to start, you know, laying out their vision and you know, what they're getting from God and to empower. And the more we see that, you see tremendous things happening. I think of the business mountain and I look at what the Green family's been able to do with Hobby Lobby. I mean, here you use a kingdom family who owns a business, and through that business, they've been able to generate an enormous amount of wealth, and with that wealth, they have a great amount of influence that they're now changing society, where they're getting ready to put a huge Bible museum right there in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And that's just one segment. That's just one part of that culture.
And it's a light for what, you know, can be done when we understand what the Green family. And think about it, they single-handedly took on, you know, just standing for the righteousness in regards to the government. That mountain tried to battle the and think about this, that we're talking about mountains here, but we're not saying that you have people on one mountain physically screaming at a person on the other mountain. Because the kingdom of God is within you. So when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he comes and resides in your heart and with you. You carry the presence of God with you. So if you are in your business, God's with you in your business. Mm-hmm. And you can talk about God there, and you can pray his kingdom down there, and he'll give you vision for your business, and he'll give you just a word of knowledge that may say, put a billboard up, just one billboard right here. Somebody will see it. He'll buy it. She'll buy it. Next thing you know, your whole thing's changed forever. That's what he does. And so that's what John's talking about. It's like not have, okay, you got to work on the mountain, business mountain a little bit, and then run over here. We're going to get deeper in this in the future, but, you know, work at my little business mountain. I got to run back over to the religion mountain, get some religion in me. It's like, no, it's actually stuff that's affecting our culture, but it's all within us and how we allow that to happen. And the kingdom rules, kingdom of God rules over all in that context of our heart. And so, you know, how do we then begin to unify, you know, around this vision of where God was wanting us to pray that his kingdom would come? And he didn't say go make, he didn't say make disciples of people. He said make disciples of nations. Ooh. I mean, nations. I mean, think about that, because, you know, how many people believe that, you know, that the, when you think about the flood and people say, you know, that, yeah, God destroyed the earth. Well, he didn't destroy, he destroyed society on the earth, but we're still on it, so it didn't get destroyed.
Hello.
All right.
You know, he redeemed the earth. And so what do you think about when you hear people saying that the world's going to come to an end, you know, and it's going to be destroyed? And it's, well, no, you know, society and men as it is will be destroyed, but God's going to redeem the earth. There's definitely going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign on the earth. So we got a little ways to go. So we got to begin to think about, we got to build for 1,000 years. And this escapism mentality about, you know, I don't have to think about anybody else and myself, and just kind of let this thing go, and I don't have to do business well. I don't have to do family well. I don't need to invest for the future. I don't need to build something that'll last beyond my lifetime. Hmm. And it's like that really tinges on the closeness of, do you even really know God? Because if we know him, then we're actually thinking about other folks.
Sure.
And he said, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. If I spent my whole life, you know, talking about that, I'm going to be taken out of here suddenly. And I'm just waiting for that moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
You know, that all of a sudden it's like, but and I believe that that's going to happen. It's going to happen in God's timing. Even Jesus said he didn't know the time. So everybody tells you, you know, they know the time. They don't know the time. Jesus don't know the time. They don't know the time. And if they said, I hope this is when it is, that's one thing. Or I believe this is when it could be, that's one thing. But just the basic reality when he says, you know, at the last trumpet sound, you know, that's when he'll come. And then you look, there's seven trumpets in Revelation. You know, you have the seven seals, the seven trumpets. That means there's a seventh trumpet. And you look what happens around there. You just don't know when that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me you got a few seals and trumpets to go through. But what do I know, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And so so we got to begin to think about, you know, if we're going to really impact and disciple a nation, which has people, you know, ethnos, people in this nation, that we got to begin to unify around the King and the Kingdom. And what I think about the Moravian Church in North America, which is one of the seedling mottos that helped us figure out how to be America. And this is what they said, because, you know, how do you unify people who have, because the whole thing about America is e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're not trying, well, everybody doesn't have to be a cookie cutter type looking person that fits inside of America, because we're diverse in regards to that. But in regards to the church, you know, we're called to be unified. And the things that divide us, do they really, I mean, are they biblical, or are they just preferences? You know, is there some core principles that we can unite around without compromising the gospel? And we're going to talk about this when we get back. It's a very simple motto that they said, and I want to share it with you. And I want you to begin to pray about this, because we've got to unify. We cannot just push our preferences as if they're doctrine for everyone. But there's some essentials you've got to be unified. We got to be unified around. We can't give those up. But it's amazing, this particular motto. And we'll talk about it when we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
Two armies faced off on a piece of farmland that's come to be known simply as Gettysburg.
The Battle of Gettysburg, fought in a war that began on April 12, 1861, ending in the spring of 1865, after Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox.
But did you know, in 1862, the Confederate Bible Society in Augusta, Georgia, printed the first edition of a small Bible to fit into a soldier's pocket, taking the Bible with him into battle.
The demand becoming so great, the Confederate Bible Society attempted to import Bibles from Great Britain, with blockade runners challenging the Union soldiers attempting to prevent the smuggling of Bibles to the South.
And did you know, Museum of the Bible collections hold a first edition copy of the Soldier's Bible, a significant artifact in the history and impact of the Bible in America.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, talking about this unifying motto that the Moravian Church of North America had that helped us understand how we could actually be unified, mm-hmm, without compromising our core beliefs or the essentials in life. And the motto that they had is, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Mm-hmm. So you think about that. So in other words, in everything we're doing, we need to do it in love, charity. But there's some things you cannot, you know, this is it. You know, there's only one way to God. It's through his son, Jesus Christ. God is the creator of the universe. All of our rights come from God. If you read the Constitution, that's what they say. There's some non-essentials in regards to, Pat likes blue choir robes, and John likes red choir robes.
Mm. Who knew?
Wow.
Okay. And we went with John's because it was less material. But think about it. Seriously. I mean, some of the things we said we have to have, and it's really, you know, those are kind of non-essentials. I mean, you can find, if you could find God in Ethiopia in the middle of a dry desert and a windy day, and God just shows up, or he shows up in an orphanage in Kenya at 7 p.m. at night in a powerful way, and just all these kids begin to weep and they're touched by God. There's a lot of non-essentials in America, lots of non-essentials that we have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of wealth in America because so we can create a whole bunch of non-essentials, which is, we're not saying anything about them. We're just saying we need to identify them as that so that in the essentials we can unify around that. And make sure you join us on our next program. Last night, I was just drawn by the Lord to reread Final Quest. And Final Quest is a dream, a vision the Lord had given Rick Joyner. And it really explains in detail. You got a chance to look at what Ephesians 6:12 looks like.
Mm.
You know, what Jesus saw when he came out of the mountains and saw that the people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He got a chance to be able to just see, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and evil powers and principalities. And so we're going to talk about that because if we don't identify the enemy, if we don't identify the enemy, then what he noticed that was going on is you had the very people that you're supposed to be helping that you're attacking. Because you're believing the lies of the enemy. Jesus called Satan, he's not only a liar, he's the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. So we have to begin to find out what the truth is. And so we got to begin to unify. But one thing we're going to talk about when we talk about this, and make sure you get it, you got to catch it, you got to see it. It'll be on CTN tomorrow and potentially, and you catch it on VFNTV.com or on the app. But is that a trumpet sound has to go forth. You have to hear, and what a trumpet is in God, a trumpet is words being said that informs you and how to respond. For example, if you have a trumpet, I don't know if we have any trumpets over here. Do we have taps or anything like that? Yeah, we have taps maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hit taps. So you notice that in taps, it's a very specific tune. It means something to people who understand taps, right? And so it has to have a distinct tune that means something to you. This means, you know, if you're in the military, it means you're about to hit the rack, you're about to go to sleep. But also it means that you're ultimately being laid down as a soldier and your funeral is taking place as well. But it's a moment of being laid down. And so that means something. See how distinctful that is. And so if you have reveille, I don't know if you had reveille, but reveille, you don't need to play it, but it's another tune. It's the same horn, but a different tune that means wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time to go. Yeah, it's time to go. We don't need to play it. Okay. But notice the horn has two different sounds. They mean something. And when he talks about a prophetic horn, he's not talking about blowing a horn. He's talking about words that mean something to you. That he begins to speak and reveal things through those he's revealed things to. He talks about it, I believe, in Ezekiel 33, when he begins to call a prophet that hears what he's saying, and he calls them like a horn, and they stand up and they begin to say what they heard. And so you hear that distinction, and you know what to do. Well, reveille, you wake up, and, you know, and taps, you go to sleep. You know, this is the way that way. You know what to do. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, this horn is going forth, and what God wants with his warnings and all for us just come together, unite around him, and begin to hear what he's saying to go in the direction he wants to go. Well, in the essentials, you know, we need to know what those essentials are to unify, and we need to be able to separate that from the non-essentials, because how can the church unify? Mm-hmm. How can we come together if we have these non-essentials that we're saying this thing has to be this way, and it's like, I can understand. You can honor. We really should honor. If people feel in their heart that's their commitment to God and that's their sacrifice to God and that's what they're doing, just because you have a liberty in that area does not mean that you're supposed to trump that person's decision to do that, because that's worship to them for God. The thing is that, but is it a non-essential is that something you chose to do, not what God said to do for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a way to honor this particular, one particular lady who wants to literally cover her head, for example. She wants to wear a cover of her head, but this other lady, she doesn't cover her head. There's a way, if we unify around the essentials, and that's pretty extreme for this culture, but that's just some things that happen. Or the way you dress, the way that you choose. Some people choose to wear suits, and some people choose, you know, wear shorts. It doesn't really, that's really non-essentials. It doesn't really make a difference. But in regards to who Jesus is, you know, who is Jesus to you? That's, of all the things that Jesus said to the disciples, who do they say I am? Who do they say I am? And then he says, who do you say I am? And that's what we, that's the unifying trumpet that goes on. So we got to begin, because what God has shown me, and we're gonna talk more detail with this, and also we're gonna be talking about in the future program how Secretary of State has stood up and said, I'm just shocked that you would even support radical Islam and ISIS for how they're treating women. Mm. And I'm so proud that he stood up and said what was accurate of what's going on over there. And so with this, we got to begin to say, you know, what are this? What, begin to pray, God, what is the essentials? What have I taken on? It's really religious, you know, it's just something culturally within my gathering that we're doing. But get in the Word of God and find out, well, you know, that's just something that we're doing. That's okay. But I can unify with people who doesn't do that. I think who's really good at this is, there's a program on television watching this family grow up. It's called the 19
Kids.
What's their names?
The Duggars.
The Duggar family. I mean, they are able to talk with anybody and have a relationship with anybody, but they don't compromise who they are as a people of mm-hmm. God. And that's a beautiful way it looks. So we can come together like that and not lord over each other and just, you know, just be. You know, there and watch what God does. And so the trumpet goes out, and what we're going to need to do is hear that sound that means to us what God wants us to do and begin to unify around it. And what we're going to find out is we're going to have to go back to the original intent of this nation. And it was the Moravians, that key motto that began to give us the idea and the vision that we can come together without compromising who God is to us. Now, I'm talking the world. This is not for the world. Mm. This is actually for the church, because we're going to find out in this next program that the biggest issue that we have is on the religious mountain, and how all the infighting and things that happen within what the devil does trying to divide the church within itself. So how can we do that? Well, one trumpet call would be like the Moravian Church North America was, in the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. Remember that. In the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. We've got to begin to give each other the freedom to follow God by staying loyal to the essentials. Get a vision for discipling a nation. Get a vision for praying God's kingdom down in your workplace, in your school, in your family, in your church gathering, in your government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. Just think about it. God, we pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done in my life, my family's life, my school, my church, my government, and my community.
We'll be right back. Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks and see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we called ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his Son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to go right into this exciting moment. I don't know if it's just exciting to me.
No, it's not exciting.
I was just so encouraged as I heard, pastor and CEO of King Center, mm-hmm. daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Bernice King, speak. And I just want to be able, I want you to see this interview and open, you know, just open your heart and say, you know what? You know, that, because so many people have taken the narrative of Dr. King and turn it into something that it wasn't.
It's not, yeah.
And a lot of people were just, you know, prostituting his words and kind of using it for their agenda versus, like, what did he say and what was, and who would know better?
That's right.
Than the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Who would know better than the CEO of the King Center that Coretta King established to be able to keep, you know, these words going forth. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right now, Bernice King is going to bless your heart.
How we begin to heal something that people don't acknowledge that is broke.
The events in Ferguson, Missouri have sparked a wildfire of protest and outcries against social injustice. Some have responded with violence. A delegation from the King Center came with a message of peace. It was led by CEO Bernice King, the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
We call it Nonviolence 365. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. Nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice and not people. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. That's my father's philosophy and methodology of nonviolence.
Like her father, Bernice says she was called to the pulpit and the forefront of social activism.
But until you shift, can't nothing happen.
I was just being obedient to what I believed was the voice of God calling me into ministry. As I've gone through this maturation in Christ and in my ministry, drawing closer to my father's legacy, you know, I've come to understand that I have a profound responsibility to carry the next phase of that, but I don't.
She believes affecting positive social change begins and ends with the church.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Personal memories of her father are few. She was only 5 when he was assassinated. Much of what she's learned has come from his personal writings, documentaries, news clips, and her mother, Coretta Scott King. Over the years, Bernice realized her mother was as crucial to the civil rights movement as her father.
She didn't get as much accolades. Because if you ask me, of course, Coretta Scott King needed Martin King in order to do what she did. But Martin King needed Coretta Scott King in order for him to become the icon that he is in the world today.
As Bernice came into her own as a minister, her mother often told her that she was a lot like her father.
When I would prepare to preach or even speak, I would tell her, I'm not feeling good. I don't have anything to say. She said, you know, that's interesting. Your dad used to say that. He would do all this preparing and he would say, I don't have anything to say to the people. She said, but if you just open your mouth, God will speak. That's what she used to tell me.
Coretta Scott King dedicated her life to furthering her husband's work. She founded the King Center in 1968.
We had a joke. The King Center was her fifth child. So I thought I was the baby, but it was really the King Center. That's why we have her side by side with him. Where else could she be buried?
Today, Bernice carries on both of her parents' work as CEO of the King Center. Still, she knows she has her own path to follow.
I'm trying to figure out what my legacy is, but I do know that I have been called to represent a standard of excellence and integrity. I see that we live in a world where there's almost no standards. It's like whatever works for you. Yeah, and we say as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, but what does that really mean? Because as Daddy said, we're caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny, and what affects one directly affects all indirectly. And I can't be all that I ought to be until you all that you ought to be, and you can't be all that you ought to be until I am all that I ought to be. And so we impact each other.
Regardless of what her legacy might be, the end goal is no different than it was 60 years ago.
Begin, as Stephen Covey would say, begin with the end in mind, because you always want to preserve the possibility of reconnecting the brokenness in community. That's Christ. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what this Nonviolence 365 is really about.
Beautiful.
Wow.
That is so encouraging. Wow. You know, so many, you know, Satan is a liar. Mm-hmm. He's the father of lies. Mm-hmm. And the Son of God said, Jesus said, when he speaks, he lies. He speaks, his lying is his native language. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for people to lie, it just, there's so many lies going on in society and things going on today. But when truth happens, you know what I'm saying?
Refreshing, isn't it?
So when truth is spoken, because you're like, I know it's day.
I know it's there.
And I've been calling it night. I know it's day. I can't agree with it. It's night because it's day. And then all of a sudden somebody walks in the room and say, man, isn't this a bright day?
Yeah.
And you just go like, that's what.
Thank you.
That's what Bernice King has done, dead, mm-hmm. and doing with the King Center.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.